6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are ready to rock and roll, man. Nathaniel Hackett did an interview with the Broncos for nine minutes, I almost said. Those are like my interviews. 9 hours. 9 hours. What are you talking about for 9 hours? Like, I know that it's football, and it's like, hey, philosophy, personnel, what's your style, who you are as a guy. But, I mean, 9 hours. That's a long time to interview anybody. But, hey, that's how these things go, and jobs are on the line if you get this one wrong. I mean, if you get this wrong, your job's on the line, George Payton. Quarterback's jobs are on the line. I mean, this is, you blow things up typically. So it's very interesting, you know, 9 hours. Dan Quinn, I don't believe he's had the second interview yet, right? So you got to get him the second interview. I would imagine you're going to talk to Dan Quinn again. And that's going to be another 9 hour, 10 hour meeting. I didn't think Nathaniel Hackett was going to get out of Denver. Is that something? Is that where we look at this and say, all right, well, he did get out of Denver without a contract. No contract for Hackett just yet. Here's what I tweeted about Nathaniel Hackett this morning. Is, you have to ask yourself this question. Is Nathaniel Hackett the main reason you're bringing him to attract Aaron Rodgers? Or are you bringing him because you think he's a great coach? You can't have it. I mean, you can have it both ways, but there's only one real way to go. Because Aaron Rodgers is short term. There's no guarantee that that is happening yet. I still, as the dust settles from Sunday, I still think it's a long shot for the Broncos, even with Nathaniel Hackett. Kind of back down to earth. I'm coming back down to earth today. Typically, Mondays are days where we dream a little bit, or we're down in the dumps. It just depends on what happened with the weekend. Tuesdays on radio shows, sports radio shows, you typically kind of get, okay, now we've been calmed down a little bit and take a look at it. No, I'm still telling you to listen to Monday. That's my best stuff. But Tuesdays when it's like, all right, let's calm down a little bit. Let's look at this realistically. You're interviewing Nathaniel Hackett. Obviously, one of the things that is a badge for him is that he has a connection with Aaron Rodgers. The reality of getting him has to sink in a little bit. Also, if Tom Brady is gone from Tampa Bay, which I was off on that, man. Friday, I'm thinking there's no way. People are going back and forth with me on this, and I was saying there's no way. And then you're watching the game, and you're watching the Bucs play, and Collinsworth and Al Michaels are certainly talking pretty deeply about this could be it for Tom if he doesn't find a way to get it done. Now you have Tom Brady really throwing that family around in a good way, right? I'm not in a bad way, but saying, hey, it's going to come down to the family decision. It's certainly a different tone than we've heard in the past, so We're nearing the end. If we're not there yet, we're nearing the end. So, if you're Aaron Rodgers, go to Tampa Bay, bro. I mean, Bruce Arians, you got a defense for the most part that, you know, they weren't as good as they were last year, but you got some studs on that D. You got Chris Godwin. You probably get Devontae Adams and Mike Evans. Is that, I mean, do you have all three of those guys potentially next year? So if Tom Brady leaves Tampa Bay, do the Buccaneers just say, hey, let's fill it up again? That's going to be us now. We're just going to keep bringing in these Hall of Famers, and we're just going to go win. That's what we're going to do. Because, I mean, you'd be right. You'd be in the same position next year. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You can't say the same for the Broncos. You just can't. You can't tell me that this roster, especially based on the free agent questions, is near what we saw with Tampa Bay. It is a fun question to ask, though, and I'm going to be talking about it more in detail. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If Aaron Rodgers was on this team right now, he's a Bronco. You start the season next year. He's a Bronco. How far are they going? You have to predict. How far are they going? Seriously. 41% of the hooligans, and this is leading the clubhouse right now, are saying first round playoff appearance. So you'd go first round playoff appearance, but that's it. You get into the playoffs, and that's it. So you break that streak of six seasons of no playoffs, which is good, but I think you have a lot of Broncos country pissed off, right? Because I don't think playoffs are the expectation with Rodgers. So according to the hooligans, you expect, now that's based on this roster right now, I guess. I didn't go into detail on that, so we could have added a bunch of people. We could have lost a bunch of people. It's the fun part about these poll questions. Don't be the guy. JD, that's the third rule of the whole show. Don't be the guy that says, we'll have to wait and see till next year. You don't get to answer the question when you already know, bro. How many tests do you take? And then you're like, okay, they write the answers out for you, and then you take the test. That doesn't happen that way. So don't be the person that texts in and does that. We get them a lot. We got a lot of hooligans that do that. Brady will never know. There's a lot of things that could happen in the offseason, like the draft, like free agency, like the head coach. I'm asking you to step outside. Step outside, man. It's okay. Make a prediction based on what we know right now. Rodgers on this team. You know Pat Surtain's coming back. You know Javonte Williams is coming back. You know you got some pretty good defenders still. Some decent prospects as far as stud offensive players. They could be a stud someday. Based on that, where are we going? Where do you think the Broncos are at this stage? And most of you guys think, man, this is it. You're just a playoff team. Second in the clubhouse is a divisional round appearance. So you got them going to the divisional round. Are we still down? Are we still walking away from that season upset? No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, that's where Rodgers went this year. So if your expectations are divisional round, I don't think you're going to be sad then. I mean, right? You go to the divisional round, you lose. 11%. We got a lot of ties today. You guys are torn on this one. 11% say still miss the playoffs. You would be, George Payton would probably lose his job at that point, wouldn't he? I mean, it's your job to assess whether or not Aaron Rodgers would work in Denver. That's got to be it. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If Rodgers is a Bronco next year, how far do they go? How far does this team go? And some of you are saying they're not even a playoff team. Now second place is AFC Championship appearance. First round, though, those are your expectations. Things have sure changed for the Broncos. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's going to be very interesting when you look at how this whole thing kind of unfolds. And you're right. Smitty just texted in the salary cap. And, I mean, if you're Miami, and that's appealing to you. That's why some of these teams are appealing to Rodgers, is because you look at the salary cap and go, okay, if I come over here, this team can spend a lot of dough to get after it. And the Broncos, with 49 players signed at this point, have what, the sixth lowest, meaning they're going to have some money to play with. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. Thank you for this. This is great. Yeah, NFC teams, yeah, typically have the most, right? It's going to be crazy to see how this affects Aaron Rodgers' decision. You got to look at it a couple of ways, though, because you look at Tampa Bay, though, and even though they have a high salary cap, like they're 19th right now, but that they have the weapons, right? So you want to look at that. You got to be careful when you look at this. You do want to look at the Broncos and say, okay, can you spend some money? But you also have to look at teams that are like, okay, you've spent some money. You got a pretty good roster. So you don't have to get too crazy in the offseason. So Rodgers could look at that one of two ways. You're absolutely right. Does George Payton want to start his general manager career? I mean, he started it last year, but that was a practice run. Do you want to start your career basically saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, come here and you tell me what to do? Like, we got a lot of spending money here. You put some names down on a piece of paper and we'll see what we can do. Is that how you want to start? And it, I mean, because then you have to ask yourself, what qualifies Rodgers? Like, he knows weapons, sure, okay. He knows good players. I'm not saying he doesn't. But is that how you want to start this thing off? I tweeted this out last night. Maybe it was this morning. I get up very early, JD. I'm a part of the 4 a.m. club. So I typically get my poll question up around 5 after a, you know, little chisel session. Getting chiseled in the morning. It's short exercise. I'm old, man. If I don't exercise, I die. But I pop in, pop poll question. We start going through the day. Well, one of the things I tweeted out was, all right, if you're Rodgers and you're 38 years old, you want to come to the AFC West? You to win the division, you got to beat the Chiefs. You got to beat Patrick Mahomes. Oh, and Justin Herbert's not getting any worse anytime soon. And that's just the West. That's just the AFC West. Now, the competitive side of Rodgers might have said years ago, yeah, hell yeah, man, let's go. I'll take P. Mahomes, man. Let's go do that. You're 38. You might want to take the path of least resistance. And where is that path? It's the NFC. It ain't the AFC North. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they're coming up. Cleveland's not in that mix. They got Baker. They're going with Baker. Pittsburgh's in that mix. So it's not the AFC North. It's not the AFC East. They have their quarterbacks. Miami's good with their guy. They drew that line in the sand. So it's not the AFC East. It's not the AFC North. Is it the AFC South? Houston? Hell no, you're not going there. Colts kind of have their thing going. I don't know. Jacksonville, they have their thing. The Titans? Ryan Tannehill? Rodgers want to go play with Derrick Henry? That's interesting. All right. Still got to get through the AFC. AFC West, though. Again, Mahomes. Derek Carr's no slouch, man. Now let's go to the NFC. The division to stay. He should just stay in his own damn division, really. You're not going to Detroit. That's where careers go to die. So that's not happening. Is Minnesota set with Kirk Cousins? Does Rodgers want to play in that cold weather anymore? Denver's not exactly Tampa Bay. It's not the NFC East. And again, I'm not looking at the salary caps. I'm basing everything off of what we saw this year. NFC South, guys. Isn't that do the Falcons scare anybody? Do the Panthers? Do the Saints with what we just got about Sean Payton moments ago, stepping down? Tampa Bay is the place. NFC West? No. Cardinals, Rams, Niners, Seahawks? If Wilson sticks around? The easiest division is the NFC South and the NFC North and the AFC South. But again, you want to jump conferences with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, now you're competing. I know those aren't going to be in your division, but you're still going to be competing with them. You're still going to have to go through one of those guys. If it's not Mahomes, it's Allen. If it's not Allen, it's Jackson. It's not Allen Jackson. It's very complicated here. So the question is, does Aaron Rodgers want to play football? And if he does, okay, the ultimate prize for you then is to win another title. Do you want to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world ever? Because right now you're going to go down as really, really good, but you only got one title. That's not putting you in Peyton Manning, Tom Brady territory. That's not putting you in Joe Montana, John Elway territory. Me personally, if I'm Rodgers, I'm going somewhere where I can win my division. Are the Bronco? If Rodgers is a Bronco today, do they beat the Chiefs? Do they win the division over the Chiefs next year? No. No. Not the team that's been going to be in three Super Bowls in a row. No. Like I said, AFC South, but Texans is a crapshoot. Jags got their guy. Colts, what are they going to do? Maybe. Titans, maybe. I'm just thinking of the easiest path would be the NFC South where Tom Brady's been hanging out. Or the AFC South. Or his own division. And he may not want to do that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Noob, I knew it was going to be Noob. I knew it was going to be Noob. We just have to wait and see what happens. When I watch or listen to other programs to monitor, you know, to compare ourselves, there's nowhere to compare. I will hear guys say that. You know, we just don't know. We just got to see what happens. It's not, we're not here for that. We're here to fantasize, man. I don't know. Yesterday on the show, what did I say yesterday? I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's leaving Denver. They're going to get this deal done. The fact that they went 9 hours and didn't get it done doesn't mean he's done. That means that George Payton has a damn good relationship with Dan Quinn, and he's going to give him one more big interview. Now, the question is, does Dan Quinn, like we talked about, want Denver over all of those open jobs? And am I hearing that Vance Joseph could potentially be a head coach again? Like the Dolphins? Dude, can you get the Dolphins on the line real quick? I want to warn them real fast. Did you just make a dolphin noise back there, Michael? I was going to say, J. Dean, that's not J. Dean. He's way too cool for that. Dixon, please don't jinx the Chiefs with your predictions. You haven't exactly been killing it there. You know what? Shut up. It was really hard weekend for me. I'm telling you, man, everything I tweeted, the opposite happened. It was crazy. When Brady got hit in the lip, I said, oh, here comes pissed off Brady. Look out. They miss a field goal. Then he throws a pick the next possession. Everything. It was like crazy to me. It's all right. We're getting it right. And you know what, Dixon? I am jinxing your Chiefs. I'm going to. My picks come out on Friday, though. But is anybody picking the Bengals to beat the Chiefs? Jadeen, are you picking the Bengals to pick the Chiefs? All right, Jadeen, it's time. It's time. Pop on. For the very first time in the history of the whole show. I mean, he just started last week. This is day, what, 7? He's on the board. He's throwing the headset on like he knows something. He just turned the mic on. Let's see if he got it right. JD, testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going, man?
It's going.
You're ready to rock and roll. Are you liking the show so far?
Oh, I love it. Way better than staying in school all day.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like school, though. I like to tell the hooligans it's a, you know, it's an education.
It is. It's a better education.
Bengals beating the Chiefs.
I hope so. But I don't see it realistically happening.
I don't see it realistically happening either.
I mean, I also don't see Burrow getting sacked a million times again either. But I think Burrow's going to have a lot more time in the pocket.
The fact that the Bengals found a way to win that game is pretty impressive, though, right? He was sacked 467 times.
Right? Yeah. Well, and that just goes to show the endurance that Burrow has.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying about this whole AFC deal. Burrow's not, I mean, that dude just became a football quarterback, man. He just became a guy in these playoffs. No matter what happens on Sunday, he's looking pretty good. So we're just adding more competition to the AFC. So the idea that if I'm Rodgers, hey, I want to go to the AFC and try to compete with all these guys is kind of nutso to me. So we'll see, man. JD, well done, my friend. Well done by you, Susan and Cheryl. Don't be intimidated by Susan and Cheryl. You know, I know they reek of smoke. Sometimes there's a little smells like they maybe had a little too much to drink the night before. Easy. Don't be intimidated. They're actually lovely people when you get to know them. Hey, put your stuff back on. On the Rocks Liquor, speaking of that, Game Beer of the Week. We want to shout out. We got our Game Beer of the Week from High Hops Brewing in Windsor. It's a blueberry wheat. Pick up selections from High Hops or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Hey, they got something really cool going on this Friday, too. This Friday, stop by, join the owners, John and Tony, as they celebrate On the Rock's 11th anniversary with some great swag giveaway stuff we all get, right? All right, 26 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real fast, J. Dean, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Last time the Colorado State Rams played Nevada at Moby Arena, that was 2 years ago, and it came down to an Isaiah Stevens last-second shot. And that was a crazy, crazy time, wasn't it? The Rams going back at it tonight against Nevada. 7 o'clock, they moved that game from 9 to 7. Thank you. Like I said, I'm a member of the 4 a.m. club, so that really helps me not having to stay up past like 10:30. So this will be good. Nevada, maybe not as good as we thought they were going to be at this point in the season, but still not a bad team in the Mountain West Conference. Colorado State continues to run. They've got Nevada and I think UNLV before the Wyoming-San Diego State game. So that's the thing. You just got to keep your eye on the prize. Take care of Nevada tonight. Get to that 16th win. Get to that 6th win in the conference. And set yourself up to beat UNLV. And boy, next Monday, that Wyoming game is going to be huge. Absolutely huge. But that's the key, right? Make sure that game is huge. Make sure that game is epic. And it'll be epic regardless of what happens against Nevada tonight, but it'd be so much better if you could roll in to Laramie next week with a 17-1 and a 7-1 conference record and put it all on the line there against Wyoming. So this game is going to be on FS1, another opportunity for Colorado State to turn some heads nationally. I don't know what went into moving the game from 9 o'clock to 7. Was that to help more eyes get on this game? Maybe so. But you got to watch out for a couple of guys for Nevada. They have some decent guys. They're second in the Mountain West Conference with 15.9 assists per game. Grant Sherfield averages 6.5 assists per game. So he's getting, less than half, but he's still running the show. He's a very good player. And when you look around at Nevada and how good they are, I mean, their non-conference schedule was not very friendly to them. Kind of an interesting schedule. They played a few Big Sky teams. They played Eastern Washington. They played South Dakota State. They lost South Dakota State 102-75. They beat Michael's Washington Huskies, and then Pepperdine. They beat 79-66. How'd they fare? Like, Kansas blew them out. They go up against Boise State. They lost by 15. They beat Air Force, though, which Air Force was, the first game they gave CSU a little run for their money. Second game at home, we thought they'd be better, but they weren't. They lost to Wyoming by 10. And then they beat Fresno State last Friday. Fresno State was we kind of labeled them like as the fifth team, with CSU, Boise State, Wyoming, and San Diego State. There was Fresno kind of hanging out in there. A lot of national people over the weekend talking about the fact that the Mountain West could put in, four teams. And Fresno would be that team on the outside looking in. But the fact that Nevada beat Fresno State certainly hurts Fresno State. But now, I mean, Nevada's looking like they're going to be a pretty tough opponent tonight. Hopefully it doesn't come down to a last-second shot. Should be booming tonight at Moby. But in that game against Fresno State for the Wolfpack, Grant Sherfield was as good as advertised. 17 points, 7 assists, 1 turnover, 5 boards. And when you're a guard handling the ball like that as much as he does to only turn it over one time, it's pretty special. So CSU tonight, we are going to have CSU Rams, CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker will be on the program in the second hour. Talk to him about basketball, first and foremost, because the women's basketball team is rocking and rolling, too, sitting at 13-5 and 4-4 in the conference. Obviously, the talk of the town, the talk of the state, probably, is Colorado State. So I want to kind of pick his brain a little bit about that, about Nico Medved. And then I want to transition and talk to him about the feel around football. You know, compared to where we were a few months ago, things sure seem to be filled with excitement surrounding Jay Norvell and his staff. So we will have Joe Parker on to talk about that a little bit later. National Baseball Hall of Fame. Getting that debate every single year. Barry Bonds. You know, should Barry Bonds be in, Roger Clemens? And then that always takes me to the Pete Rose conversation. And obviously what he did was different. Bonds and Clemens, performance enhancing drugs. Pete Rose, gambling on his sport. Was it proven that he was gambling on his team or himself or against his team or himself? No. This is such an interesting debate to me. I'm telling you, I'll be honest. I tend to go back and forth with this one on my mind. Hall of Fame, not as much, but like sometimes you wonder, should they just let him do whatever the hell they want? Because, I mean, we remember how damn exciting it was when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were hitting home runs left and right, and they were having this battle back and forth. So they just let him juice? No, probably not. It's one of my random bizarre thoughts. Should they be Hall of Famers? No. Should Pete Rose be a Hall of Famer? Probably no. Probably no, but it's a probably no compared to those guys, because I think that when it comes to sports, when it comes to pro sports, college sports, I mean, you do view your game as sacred. Hell, Tom Brady got suspended for allegedly airing a football, taking air out of a football, and it initially got like two more games than Ray Rice when they thought, he didn't prove it yet, but they thought he knocked his fiance out. It's crazy, right? So it basically said, messing with the game is a little bit worse than knocking out your fiance. But we didn't see you do it. Well, okay, then they see the video. You remember, Roger Goodell, they saw the secondary video in the elevator, and they see Ray Rice actually knock her out. Oh, that's what happened. And then they gave him the season, and I don't think he's ever been back. But initially, yeah, it's like if you screw with the game, that is the biggest offense. And I mean, come on, you can't. The numbers are always going to be what the numbers are. How many of those numbers were influenced by performance-enhancing drugs? You'll never really know. Pete Rose is probably a no for me, too. But I mean, come on. If you want to be consistent in the guys you're putting in, Ty Cobb, I mean, my gosh. That dude, not a great dude. Like, so if we're going to go to that route and talk about all the things that some of these players, you know, have done, and obviously when do you start judging character and such? And again, Pete Rose was doing this on the field. It was impacting the actual game. I get it. I understand it. But it's very, very interesting when you look at this debate every single year when we get into it. 42 minutes after the hour. We got a busy second hour coming up, too. Zach Stevens is going to join me from DNVR Broncos. And we're also going to talk to, like I said, Joe Parker. But I want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, should those guys be in the hall? And I'm not meaning to lump Pete Rose, because I know that's not the same conversation today, because this is essentially Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. This is their last shot. Should Barry Bonds be in? That's the big story. Greatest hitter, and arguably the greatest hitter in baseball history. And he did a lot of things before he started getting bigger, right? I mean, when he was new in his early stages, he was that good, which is also why I think it was more infuriating for a lot of people, the fact that he was using the performance-enhancing drugs, because he was still good. I mean, he was always good. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. It's such a I like the NFL Hall of Fame debates. Just flat out greatness versus non-greatness. This is okay. There's no debate. All three of those guys I just mentioned are greatness. And can you know the whole thing? Can you tell the story of baseball without those guys? You kind of can't, especially Barry Bonds and Pete Rose. But that's why you can't say that's the category that you use to get a guy in. You're right, Noob. Good thing we don't have these rules for the Hall of Fame, because nobody would be in. Yeah, we let a lot of as long as they're killing it as far as the text line, bringing great takes and stuff, you could be a degenerate and still get in the Hall of Fame. It could happen. Being a hooligan is easy. You just have to listen to the show. A Hall of Famer takes time. It takes work. Eastside Chris got in last year. Congratulations to you. You just text the word in, Jinxie Cat. It's that kind of stuff that takes this show to the next level. Noob, of course, saying, we'll just have to wait and see. He is a damn good bowler, though. That's what I hear. When we had our World Food Bank bowl-a-thon, he was legit. Pillow Fight Dan. Yeah, you're in the Hall of Fame. Should the Hall of Fame, though, should we use it just based on the game itself? Should things that happened outside of you, outside of the game, be a contributing factor? Dixon says, if you're able to separate Rose the player from Rose the betting coach, he's a slam dunk as a player. And can you? Because the way baseball views it is you disgraced the game. That they view that as probably a bigger disgrace than PEDs. Because there's a debate for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens today. There's still no real debate inside baseball that Pete Rose should be in the mix. So that's baseball saying, we view cheating worse as a worse offense than you gambling. And again, we don't know if he bet. You can say that he bet as a coach. But then, of course, and that's what they prove. So based on what we know, but you'll talk to like gamblers that gamble like crazy, and they'll say the same things. Like if he was that addicted to gambling as a coach, he probably didn't just start. I mean, he was into the horse tracks for a long time. You mean to tell me he never dabbled in gambling in baseball when he played? But again, we don't know that. You got to use it based on facts, and I get that. Can you separate him from the player and the coach? Can you? That's tough to do. Can you separate Barry Bonds from the early player to the secondary player, to the guy that was using PEDs? The other thing is the external. You know, do you look at things if they did bad things, like really bad things, and they were found guilty of them? Can you put them in the Hall of Fame, or do you say, hey, we need to be, it has to be within the sport. I don't care what they did on the outside, but it has to be within the sport. I mean, that's different. Hall of Fame is, there's a lot of different criteria for every Hall of Fame. Dixon says, if he always bet on his team to win, I don't have a problem with it. To lose is different. You're right. Initially, I don't either. But it still sets a terrible precedent for everybody's betting. If he's allowed to do it, then everybody's allowed to do it. And then that leads to betting against each other. Like, if you're a member of the Rockies, are you betting on yourself to win? You got your paycheck and you got a $50,000 paycheck, and you know what? You're feeling good. You play for the Rockies and you're like, you know what? We're on a 7-game losing streak. I'm going to ride this out. See what happens. You're not betting on yourself to win. See, but that kind of does set that precedent, doesn't it? I mean, if it's okay for him because he bet on himself, which again, we can't really prove one way or the other, then everybody can bet on themselves. Well, then there's going to be a few that go, I mean, we're not any good. So I'm betting, but because we're in this now. And the world of betting, as you know, is just absolutely taken off. There's an ad for gambling every other commercial. You go to Twitter, Facebook, every other, like it, gambling is in your face. I think it's funny. It's like, if you have a gambling problem, it's like, dude, you throw gambling in front of people like you wouldn't believe. And I don't mind gambling. Trust me, this is not an anti-gambling thing. But when you make it so easily available and it's constantly in your face and you got Drew Brees saying, live your bet life. It's like, but I'm not living my bet life right now. I need to be. $50 on the Browns to win. You know, I mean, it is funny to me. Like, at least the... I do like the Mariucci ad, though. It's like, hey, track your bets, spend what you can afford. Like, you actually go into that, and I appreciate that. It's kind of like the new Kevin Garnett, was it the Crown Royal ad? Like, they're drinking water in between. They order waters at the bar, and they don't even... You don't even see a glass of Crown Royal. Like, that's a damn good ad. Kind of makes me want to get Crown Royal and then go, you know what? I need a glass of water in between before I throw this $100 on the Chiefs to win it all. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to get back to some of these texts on the other side. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We'll get to that when we come back. Stay tuned. I want to keep on this conversation. We'll be right back.
Basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I just get to rocking out, JD, and I don't even know what's going on anymore, man. Welcome back into the show. I want to get into some text here. This is a good, it's a fun topic. It's not fun necessarily, but it kind of is. JD and I were talking during the break. Even if you're betting on yourself to win, isn't that kind of like inside, what do you call it? Inside trading? What Kevin Malone does every day? Seriously, though, players and coaches know more than we do, correct? They know about injuries. They know a lot more than they let on. So Pete Rose might not choose to bet that day because he knows of an injury. Or he might bet because, hey, I got the inside scoop that our starting pitcher's coming back. So that's why it does open up an entirely different world. If you say betting is okay as long as it's on yourself and you have to prove that. That's inside trade kind of deal. I know my team. I know that we're getting a guy that's a big-time injury back. I know we're getting ready to make a big trade. And you maybe already placed your bet. See, that's where it gets tricky. Bama Bear says PEDs in baseball is part of the story. Let them in. And trust me, I've gone back and forth on that. Like, part of me's just like, let them have PEDs, man. Let's hit home runs all over. Let's hit home runs out of the park every single time. Noob texting in. You can't separate him because he was also a player and coach at the same time. True, there was a crossover. You can separate Bonds because his head was massive. Things changed quickly. This from Chris in Fort Fun. I'm not sure where I stand, but if they get in, what is the consequence for cheating? Baseball is unique in sports since the number of repetitions makes the statistics matter. It allows you to compare players across generations. PEDs mess with those numbers. And that's why they won't get in. Agree or disagree, numbers in baseball are sacred. This is why the idea of shortening a season is very tough to get over for baseball. The idea of changing anything is very difficult. So if you use PEDs, you really mess with those stats. I'm leaning more toward all of it. Like, hey, gambling PEDs, nah. No, you can't do it. Your thoughts, text in on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's an interesting debate because, man, there's so many times when I look at this and I'm like, obviously, I think they should get in. They're great, but what they did, that sets the precedent. 33 minutes after the hour, this is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Busy second hour coming up. I got Joe Parker, athletic director for CSU, and Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Don't miss it. Keep it right here on The Whole Show.